listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. Leaving work in a mood? Time to change that with Overdrive.
Did you ever actually feel asleep?
I felt at a certain point I was kind of tired and very relaxed, but when he was like, now you love wine. What I should have done was like, I want a chicken parm sandwich.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Final hour, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. Brian Hayes, Jamie Noodles, McLennan, Mike Johnson. Double shot in Toronto tonight. The Maple Leafs are at home against Tampa. We'll get to that in a moment. The Raptors are in Cleveland taking on the Cavaliers. And you can hear that game right here on TSN 1050. It sounds like Lowry and Kawhi are going to play. Like, we'll find out come tip-off, but it sounds like they're going to play.
I think Raptors PR put out Lowry's going to start.
So Lowry's going to start. Yeah. There you go.
So Lowry's the playing. On, the line on this game should be quite lopsided then.
On the road, they're in Cleveland, right?
They're in Cleveland. Yeah. The Raptors played last night. It's not going to be like that Golden State game last night. No, not even close to plus 1,100.
But are you plus 50?
I think... No, it's that's not the way it works.
Yeah, I don't know what like give me a line here.
Plus 100. Honestly, you have no idea what you're talking about.
I don't gamble. I'm not a degenerate.
Is it plus 50? Is it like plus
$50?
Couple cents? No, it's I don't know. We can look up that line. Yeah. Plus, Grapplers in here. Graps, look that
plus
up, man.
Plus 450.
That's what you're saying?
That'll be the Cavs tonight. So the Raps, they'll be a minus, so a pretty big
plus 450 means you if you bet on the Cavs $100, you win $450.
Right, so you got to, or the other way.
The other way is minus, you bet the $375 on Toronto to win $100.
All right. It's really this compelling stuff.
No, but it's gambling advice.
Well, did you see that the Ontario government is pushing for it, right? They want the feds to get on board with single game betting. And I'm all for that. I don't see why you wouldn't do it. I mean, all the states are going to be doing it. The state of New York is going to do it soon. Jersey's been doing it now. We all know Nevada. A bunch of other states are doing it. Mm-hmm. And that's the future. Like gambling, the leagues are telling you where this is going based on the way that they're treating Vegas. You know, that was a big story last week with baseball when they announced that managers and teams, they have to send in their starting lineup to the front to the head office in New York, who will immediately send it to Vegas before they can send it out publicly online or, you know, post it for the media, the local media. And that's respecting the numbers, respecting the gambling world, making sure that everything's on the up and up. And so then, baseball's doing it, basketball's doing it. The hockey world's they're getting in bed with Vegas as well.
They should, but they may have to have. Say you put it in, and then a guy gets sick, or you have to change it. You there's probably a buffer.
Well, things can happen, right? I mean, that's
game time decision.
Yeah.
All of that.
Yeah. Like, the line moves as information comes out. Yeah.
They would have to adjust it.
Yeah. I mean, you can take games off the board and Vegas, they know what they're doing here, man. It's not their first rodeo.
I work down in Jersey at times, the NHL Network, and there's all kinds of people like to bet on the games mid game. And then you're geo blocked because then once you go into New York City, you can't.
Right.
Because they haven't passed it. I'm like, so once you get in the tunnel, that app, whatever you're on, no longer works.
You can immediately start hammering it the second you're on
the
that
side. The second you're on the right side of it, you go right back to it.
I was telling Hayes, I was watching a Jersey game, and it came across the fonting at the bottom. It's like, if New Jersey scores on this power play, like it was like a betting line.
Right.
Which is kind of, I think it's kind of neat.
That's where it's going, man. I mean, it doesn't mean that everyone's going to want it or everyone. No one's, like, it's, I've always believed if you don't gamble, you're not going to start gambling now because it's legalized.
Having it there is not going to force it down anyone's throat.
No, exactly.
Because if you really want to gamble, people can find ways.
They've always found ways.
Right.
You know, it's just like legalizing marijuana.
Get ahead of it. Generate revenues. Take the revenue gain from it.
I think that's what the Ontario government is trying to do
it,
here.
Yes.
Yeah. So we'll see what the federal government has to say in response, but we've got the line here for tonight, and you guys were pretty close. The Raptors are minus 450.
There you go.
And the Cavs are plus 350 tonight. The spread's 9 points. So the Raptors are 9-point favorites.
I work in Vegas on the weekends.
Yeah.
MJ, 450.
Just a sharp over there, sharp money. But I saw that, and I was surprised by this, and Grappler, look this up too. Try to find an update on the Maple Leaf game tonight. But when I checked this morning, the Leafs were slight favorites, which I don't understand how at any point Tampa can be an underdog. Honestly, Three games in four nights, Louis Domingue net on the road. I think they should still be a pick 'em or a slight favorite. Like, why would the Leafs be favored tonight?
Well, the strength of the home ice, the schedule, the goaltender. Yeah. And I think even when you have good teams, the strength of the favor in hockey is probably as tight as any sport. So if Tampa playing Montreal Canadiens at home, they're still only going to be a 56% favorite. Like, it's not 70% likelihood they're going to win. It's just
slight.
Just that's how tight it is. So I guess the home ice and the goaltending.
Right. And listen, the Leafs are a big public brand and all that, and they're a very good team,
Tampa's
too.
Tampa's lost 13 games.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the Leafs are a great team.
Yeah.
You know, they're a top five team in the league.
Mm-hmm.
But Tampa is so much better than everyone else during the regular season. Now, the Leafs have played them well. Right, and the Leafs have played them well in two games.
So
when
they look at
the
history, they look at the history of the game. So they've played him well. Vasilevsky was brilliant when he came back. That was his first game off of injury. And they won that game. Vasilevsky stood on his head. Then the other game, Tampa won that game. Then the other game, Toronto wins. So you're right. It should be close. Now, as it gets closer to game time, Hayes, you think it'll be a pick 'em?
Yeah, I would guess so. You know, because I
virtually,
think money's going to come in on Tampa. I mean, the NHL, it's not a ton of money that pours in anyway. No. It's not like the NFL or college football or college basketball. But I'm just saying, in general, the principle of Tampa being an underdog at any point.
They've lost 13 times.
They never lose.
Yeah.
They never lose. They're so deep. They're so good. And they deserve the respect.
Yeah.
You know, and the Leafs are going to show them the respect tonight. You can't go over the top with it. You know, you can't
be afraid.
Can't be afraid of them. You know, and Noodles, I think you hit the nail on the head earlier, man. You got to attack.
Yeah.
That's what you got to do. This should be a track meet tonight.
I don't know how many times, I don't know how you were like this, MJ, in your career. Like, if I felt I was tentative, I was no good. And for a goaltender, it's different because tentative, you're thinking the game instead of reacting. And I've played on teams where you're respecting the opponent too much. You allow them to establish their game instead of getting them off kilter. So when you have regrets and looking back at a game and going, man, I wish I would have done this. I say leave it out there. Make mistakes because you're actually going right at the team instead of allowing them to implement their game plan. And the Leafs can do that. That's the one thing I would look at. I think this is going to be a really good game tonight. And I know scheduling and coming off the West, like, that could have the effect. I still think, I said this to you, Brian, too, off air. Freddie Anderson, I think he had a really good road trip. Like, I thought he was, I know the Edmonton game 3-2, but, like, he made some big saves at the right time again. Like, he continues, like, he's a guy for me that I think he's had an outstanding season. Like, they've taxed him in certain areas. He's gotten goal support, but he's a top-flight goaltender. And has been all season long.
Do you think he can beat Vasilevsky for the Vezina? Because it feels like Vasilevsky has just been handed the Vezina.
I mean,
it's not that he hasn't had a great year, but he's on the best team in the league by a lot.
He is, but
his goalie numbers are better too. Not just the wins, but his save percentage, his high danger, all that stuff.
There's a lot of
save above average, all those different things.
The underlying numbers are very favorable for Vasilevsky, but Anderson has certainly been more important to his organization than Vasilevsky has. And that's proven with...
Was Louis Domingue's record?
Well, he was 11-1 in 12 games. Yeah. Eddie Pasquale played one game for Tampa and won, too.
Like, shout out. We love Eddie Pasquale.
But
can't get enough of that.
Love him.
But it's Anderson, I think right now, it's a two-horse race for the Vezina. And it's 1-1A, but I still give the edge to Vasilevsky. And it's almost like if you're overthinking it, like, John Cooper should win Coach of the Year, but, you know, Barry Trotz.
It's interesting what's up with Rick Tocchet in Arizona. They are, what, 2 points out of
two
a playoff spot?
2 points out. Now, they're getting healthier, but, you know, they're doing it with Darcy Kemper.
They just
Kemper
lost step on, though, for the next 4 weeks.
Yeah,
like
they're battling. They're
but
grinding
they're
away.
They're in a race.
They're right there.
They're in a race.
They're one back with a game in hand.
Right.
One back.
Right.
Minnesota with a game in hand.
And Minnie, to me, is I think old Brucey. Brucey's
Broadway Joe is not going to come through.
But I will say this. Paul Fenton's moves, I don't mind a couple of them. Like, they've got some young players.
Please
coming.
Defend Victor Rask for Nino Niederreiter.
No, I won't. Not that one.
Okay,
not
good.
That one. But Fiala, I like him. Like, I think Fiala's going to help. Like, I was looking at their roster. Like, he's tried to reshape it kind of young and on the fly. Because we all, when you think of Minnesota, you think of Parise, Suter, Koivu, like all 30 plus. But they've got some young players. Erickson, like the... Greenway, Jordan Greenway. Like, he's a good young player. Like, they've got some players there. It's just, it's kind of the in-between they got to fill out.
Well, he just gutted their in-between because it was Granlund, Coyle, and Niederreiter were the guys they're going to build around, and he got rid of all of them.
He's
saying that Donato, that core can't get it done.
Right.
We can't get rid of Parise and Suter.
Right, those are...
But then why did they re-sign Eric Staal? Like, why didn't they trade him at the trade deadline? How does that make any sense?
They want to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
But then, exactly, you're
trying to serve both ends.
Yeah.
You're at a fork in the road, and you're trying to walk down both.
Yeah. You know, you're doing the splits.
That's the reaction with what happened with Antonio Brown going to Oakland.
Yeah,
you know,
you're right.
We talked about that earlier, where there's no disputing Brown's an incredible talent. He might be the best wide receiver in football. If he's not, he's certainly a top five guy.
Right.
All he does is rack up yards and rack up touchdowns. But Oakland, they gutted their roster. They traded Khalil Mack. They traded Amari Cooper. They're trying to acquire as many picks as possible. They opened up a bunch of cap space. And then you go out there and you acquire Antonio Brown and give him a lot of your money. And you pay a cheapened price. I mean, for the talent, he's worth more than a third and a fifth. I mean, he's worth way more than that.
Right.
But what are you trying to achieve if you're in Oakland? Are you in it to win it?
6-10? Like, what are you trying to get to?
Exactly. Are you trying to get to a point where you're basically a 500 team and you think you can sell that?
That's
are you trying to sell tickets?
That's the splits you just said. You're trying to serve both ends.
That sounds like exactly what it is.
The only thing you got going in football is that with the Khalil Mack trade, they acquired so many picks, and picks in football play and play well.
Right.
Their development curve is today.
But that's my point, though, is they had those picks before they went out there and got Antonio Brown, and that should be the focus.
Right, but it still could be. Because they're going to have young, controllable assets that they expect all those first-round, second-round, third-round picks, and they can add eight players to their roster in the next 2 years that can play right away. And it's not quite like hockey where those guys got to grow. Like, you add some pieces that are like Brown that are incredible, and then if the picks can play right away, then maybe they're just expediting, not completely abandoning the rebuild. I'm being very optimistic right now.
You are being optimistic, and ultimately it's going to come down to a guy like Derek Carr, who we haven't even named yet today. If he can't throw the ball, it's not going to matter.
And I wonder, because Antonio Brown put up 1,400 in his sleep with Big Ben.
Right.
And they may hate each other and whatever. Big Ben gets the ball downfield, he'll throw picks, but he gets the ball to his receivers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Whether it's Juju, Smith-Schuster, whoever it is. Bell, you just wonder, Carr, who was great... Was it 3 years ago?
Yeah, 3 years ago now, and he got paid, and then it fell off.
Yeah,
so can
a little
Carr
pressure
get it
on
done?
Him.
Yeah, I don't know if Carr can get it done.
But that's what I'm asking.
I don't know if he can.
So you knew what you had in Roethlisberger, but you don't know what you have in Carr.
You have no idea. You know what he has?
What?
$30 million guaranteed.
Yeah,
That's what Antonio Brown has.
Absolutely.
Cash.
That's what he has, and that's what he cared about.
Was it $50 million?
Well, it's
30 guaranteed.
Yeah, the contracts are complicated, but he's got $30 million guaranteed.
And he's making 20-ish a year.
He's making a lot of money, and you know it's carrying over from Pittsburgh,
man,
and it goes to Oakland. You know, but and the truth is now we wait on Le'Veon Bell, where he's going to walk. They didn't franchise tag him again,
so they traded Brown and got rid of Bell, and they're going to get a third and a fifth for Brown, a compensatory third for losing as a free agent Bell.
Mm-hmm. And a big cap hit, like 10%
and a $20 million cap hit this year coming up.
Right,
eating Antonio Brown's.
Yet you
that
know what?
Doesn't feel like great
asset management. No, it feels terrible. Yet at the same time, it had to happen.
It's like, got to be the ultimate addition by subtraction.
It's all about culture, right? Like this is the problem. It's
so
difficult
their
to sell.
Team changed.
It.
Their team dynamic has changed in the room.
Yes.
So that's something that the numbers can't adjust for, if that makes sense.
This is an
intangible.
Basically an intangible upgrade. And I know that's difficult to sell for a lot of people, especially in 2019. Because you're selling a locker room, you're selling trust in your players.
Mm-hmm.
And to be fair, I mean, Antonio Brown deserved to be labeled as a guy you can't trust. He quit on him. He didn't show up in week 17. Literally wouldn't show up and play.
But you're going to hand the keys to that famous franchise to Ben Roethlisberger? I don't know Ben. I have no idea. But, you know, given what's come out of that locker room, it may just be the two malcontents, but it seems like there's some issues in that room beyond. It was a stronger room. Like every locker room, football, basketball, hockey, you know, like there's guys that are different or guys that have attitudes or guys who don't want to go along with everybody else. But the better rooms manage it a bit better. Never quite solve it all the time, but they manage it.
Yeah.
The fact that it was as bad, it got to be as bad as it did in Pittsburgh, with these guys having great individual success, you wonder what this change culture will revolve around.
I'll throw one more thing in there. Doesn't it seem like once a year at least that Big Ben is like, meh, I'm almost done. I'm done. Like, you may have changed everything, and this guy may decide halfway through the season, can't do it anymore. Like, I always feel like there's week three or week four, you're wondering, like, is Big Ben going to walk off the field and not coming back?
Well, and
he said it before.
Absolutely. 2 years ago, he said he was going to retire.
He wasn't sure.
He had to wait to make
to
a decision.
Anymore.
And then actually what ended up happening is they ended up drafting a quarterback in the second or third round, and then he went crazy.
Yeah.
And
How dare you?
He went on radio. He's like, what are you doing? Why would you pick him? And then he went out, I believe, and said publicly, I'm not helping this guy to become a better quarterback. I got my own problems.
Not mentoring this guy.
Exactly. So I think that was a kind of core element to this whole problem there, specifically from Brown's perspective, where he's like, look at this guy. Everyone caters to Ben Roethlisberger, which I'm sure there is – you know, built-in issues in that sport anyway, because the quarterback is clearly the golden boy.
Island unto himself.
Clearly the golden boy. And, you know, that probably leads to some malcontents and some issues to begin with that's already built in. But, you know, Brown gets labeled as this guy who's selfish, who won't play with the program and all that. Meanwhile, Roethlisberger's threatening retirement.
Right.
He's going on record saying, why are you picking this player? I'm not going to help this player. And he's chirping his teammates publicly through the media.
Yeah.
He did that a lot this past year. So, you know, I think that probably explains it. You know,
sure.
Is that Brown was like, I've had enough with this guy, whether you like it or not. And I don't like that he quit on his team in week 17. That is inexcusable. But him wanting out after the season is over, I can totally reason with that.
Yeah.
Would you be willing to give Brown a pass if he shows up in Oakland? And it just got to be so bad in Pittsburgh, he had to do whatever it took, including ostracizing himself from the entire organization, calling out everyone, social media, to their face, whatever it might be, just to get what he wanted, to get out of there. And if he shows up and he's a good, dedicated, responsible teammate, you could say, you just do what you had to do.
Well, that's what Oakland is banking on, right?
Yeah, big time.
Oakland's paying him $30 million for that exact example that they want him to set.
They would have had to have those conversations, do you not think?
In Oakland?
Yes.
But it's John Gruden. Like, everyone's pointing to Mike Mayock, which I understand, but Gruden's still running the whole operation.
Right.
So can Gruden, you know, get this guy under control? I don't know.
Does
Gruden
know
what he's doing still?
I don't know if Gruden has a clue what
he's
doing.
But if he calls him and says, this is, like, what are you doing here? Like, there has to be some form of a personal contact.
Okay, so, Jamie, what's the worst place you ever played? Let's say it's Russia.
Or yeah, okay, Magnitogorsk.
Right? Magnitogorsk. So you want it out of there no matter what.
Yeah.
Let's say that some other team in Russia called you and was going to pay you $50 million for 3 years.
Yeah.
Could you put on a brave face and spin it that you'd be a good teammate, good person, good goalie? You could. You could sell anything for that.
You're right.
And that's the trouble when you're going to talk to Antonio Brown. Of course he's going to say whatever you want to hear. And it's going to sound genuine because he's got lots of motivation to make it genuine. But I think until you get there, until he goes, you know, three receptions for 32 yards 2 weeks in a row and four turnovers and they lose, then we'll see. Because right now, you're sitting at the very tough negotiator, Mike Mayock, across from you, but you're trying to get that contract. It's all fine and dandy.
You're right. It is smoke and mirrors until you actually see him perform for your organization.
Well, and that's where Derek Carr really comes into play. Like, Derek Carr is the guy who will determine whether or not this is going to work.
Completely.
Because if the quarterback can't get on the ball, like, Brown would complain on the record, off the record, that Juju Smith-Schuster was getting too many passes. Yet, even with that said, and they missed the playoffs, and they were 7-2-1, I believe, and then they cratered. It just fell off a cliff for them. He still had 1,300 yards and 15 touchdowns.
Skipping a game.
So he was complaining about 1,300 yards and 15 touchdowns. If Carr can't get him the ball, he's going to go crazy. I 100% expect that he will show his true colors and he will freak out because by that point, he's made the money.
Guaranteed.
The money's guaranteed.
You can do about it.
Exactly. Yeah. And Oakland, John Gruden, Mike Mayock, Derek Carr, they all better find a way to make this work. And Brown obviously has to factor in too. Nick Foles officially locked in Jacksonville, $50 million guarantee.
Woo!
So he is getting paid.
Wow.
I like that.
He is getting paid. And that means Blake Bortles is out. It's just a matter of time. Dave Vanderchuk will join us, get his take on the Tampa Bay Lightning side of things. Obviously, one of the great Leafs of all time as well. Get his take on what he sees out of the Maple Leafs. And we'll ask him, if you were the Leafs, how would you go about exploiting Tampa? And if you're Tampa, how do you go about exploiting the Maple Leafs? We'll get to that next. All right, so we're in this new studio for the next couple of weeks. They're tearing down the old studio, going to build it up again. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah.
But we're dealing with kind of plan B here, right? Studio B, which I like. It's kind of a gritty old school radio studio.
This, to me, is what radio
it's really all
should
about.
Look like. Yeah.
It's gritty. It's grungy.
Soundproof room. You're just kind of.
We just took away the window. If we took away the window, then we'd be in shape because there's the big window.
Yeah. Well, you guys can see it. I can't. But there's no.
It's like a petting zoo window. Like
yes.
If you're like, you know, like. People just stand there and watch us through the window.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like Jeff McDonald, our program, I guess, what is he?
PD.
Program director? PD.
Yeah.
Program director.
He'd
be
standing two-way window so they can't
just
see in.
Staring at us.
Yeah. But there's no cameras in here, which is what I like.
You don't, yeah.
I don't like,
you're not gonna
although
caught.
It does, you know, listen, man, when we're on TV, it's cool. When we're streaming online, but this is kind of old school. No one really knows what's going on in here. But because we're in this backup studio, Mullen's in the studio with us. John Whaley is in here, and the Grappler's in here.
Yeah.
And he just called up Dave Vanderchuk.
He's yelling and screaming at Dave.
He's yelling and screaming at Dave, but this is basically a spotlight into my life and what I deal with every single day. So the Grappler goes, all right, Dave, I'm going to put you on hold. You're on with Brian and former NHLers, Jamie McLennan and Mike Johnson. So in other words, some plug that you don't really have to care about, and two guys that are from
we
your own world.
Said, I mean, former OHL great.
Well, that's right.
Standout.
Standout,
that's right.
Yes. Stay-at-home defenseman.
Here's a former NHLer, former yes. Maple Leaf, and now an analyst with the Lightning. He's been on the show many times. Here's Dave Vanderchuk. How you doing, Dave?
Very well, guys. Very well. Don't worry about it. OHL, you know, you should be proud of that.
Thank See? You. I am quite proud of that. I am quite proud. One of the great healthy scratch players of all time in OHL history. So we've been, you know, needless to say, pumping the tires of the Lightning all year. I think everybody else has, too. But we've been trying to figure out an area where maybe you can exploit them. Can you tip us off on anything? If you're the Maple Leafs tonight, what are you trying to exploit with Tampa?
I don't know, guys, to be honest with you. It's been an amazing year when you guys have watched from afar. We see it every day. You know, there's not a lot of weakness in their game. You know, I think they lose interest at times, which probably won't happen in the playoffs. And, you know, maybe teams can do that. But then they've come back because they've decided they're going to start playing again. So, you know, some of the weaknesses that we were concerned about going into this year was our penalty kill. You know, they're 28th last year. Well, now they're first this year, so check that box. I think defensively they've gone from like 14 to 5. So, you know, it's been an incredible year. There's records being set. And, you know, I've seen teams come into our building especially and play decent games and play, you know, play pretty well against us and, you know, and still come out empty-handed. So hopefully, you know, they got the right mix as you go down the stretch drive here. And we all know that the team that's playing the best in the stretch is probably a team that's got a good chance of winning, and hopefully the Lightning can continue to do that.
Here in Toronto, there's been a debate really all year about who the MVP of the team is. And it's Mitch Marner, John Tavares, Morgan Riley, Freddie Anderson, everyone's got a different view. Down in Tampa, I would assume it's a similar conversation. Yet with that said, I think Kucherov's a lock to win the league MVP. But would he definitely be the MVP of the Lightning, or would it be Stamkos or Hedman or Vasilevsky?
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, the depth has been, and everybody's contributed. You know, our fourth line has played really well in the last couple of games. It's carried the team, to be honest with you. You know, the forgotten guy is Andre Vasilevsky, who has been incredible all year long. You know, he missed 14 games with an ankle injury and has come back. And to me, he probably is the MVP. I think at the start of the year, you know, maybe before Christmas, you know, there were a lot of grade A chances that they gave up that Vasilevsky, you know, kind of bailed them out and allowed them to, you know, stay in the game. So Cooch is, you know, as you guys watch hockey every night, you see the highlights. But, you know, this guy does it every shift. And who knows? I mean, every time he steps on the ice, he's a threat. And, you know, that doesn't happen every day. So lots of MVPs. You know, Stammer's having another great year. Braden Point's having a great year. You know, Hedman has really picked up his game. McDonough has actually been probably our best defenseman. So, you know, the list goes on. As you said, it's hard to pick one guy.
When you look at the team, and we were talking about heading into the playoffs as far as matchups, the Maple Leafs look to be locked in with the Boston Bruins, and a lot of people around here say that's not the greatest matchup because of the style that the Bruins play. That being said, when you look at the depth of the Toronto Maple Leafs, there's a lot of people that think that the matchup would be a lot nicer against Tampa Bay because of the way that they're constructed, the roster is constructed. When you look around the league, Dave, is a team like the Maple Leafs, is that a team that could be a threat to the Lightning if they end up head-to-head?
I do. I really do. They've played well against us, to be honest with you. You know what I look at, guys, is I look at the coach. I look at the coach that's on the other, you know, behind the other bench, and how he's going to coach against those teams, and how he's going to make adjustments to try to beat the Tampa Bay Lightning. I don't think there's many teams, like, you know, the way the year has gone, it's hard for me to imagine that they're going to lose four games in a series to anybody.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, the way that, you know, Babcock can get his team to play, you know, that scares me a little bit. We saw it in, I wanted to say it was 2011 when he was with Detroit, you know, 1-8. And, you know, they took us to 7 games and could have easily beat us. And they had no business being in that series. So I think that, you know, the coaching, you know, the New York Islanders, you know, I mean, they got a very good coach. They're well-disciplined. They good defense. You know, maybe them. But when you look at the matchups, you know, it's they're all going to be good teams, as you guys have talked about, you know, countless times. Is, you know, those 8 teams that get in, they're good. And, you know, I think the Lightning have got to be very mindful that no matter if they're in the first round or whoever you play, it's they're going to be a good team. Whether it's Columbus or Montreal, or, you know, who knows? Maybe it's in Pittsburgh. So we'll see what happens.
We're chatting with longtime NHLer, former Leaf, former Lightning Hall of Famer Dave Andrychuk ahead of the game tonight. Leafs Lightning down at Scotiabank.
All right, Dave, it was a love-in at Morning Skate today. John Cooper telling the media in Toronto that Mitch Marner might be one of the smartest players in the history of the game. So without saying Mitch Marner, who were some of the smartest players that you can remember playing with throughout the game that maybe could rival the visionary that Marner might be?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, there's a bunch of guys that I played with, right? Like, you know, if you go back to the 80s, I mean, there's guys like Gilbert Perreault, right? Like, very smart player.
You played with Gilbert Perreault?
Yes, I did. Unfortunately, I know I'm telling my age.
What? You played in the 70s? What happened, Dave?
No, he made it to 86. He made it to 85, 86, yeah. You know, you think about guys like Doug Gilmore, for example, and our runs with the Leafs here in Toronto. To me, he analyzed the game. Before he got the puck, he knew what play he was going to make. I see that in Mitch Marner. All the games that I've watched, you know, this kid understands that before he gets the puck, he's got to have something in his mind already what he's going to do and where everybody else is going to go. We have that going on with 86 on our team and Kucherov. Unbelievable plays that he makes, and it's only because, you know, he's 2 or 3 steps ahead of everybody else. So, you know, the games that I've watched and the plays that Mitch Marner makes and the tap-in goals that Johnny Tavares has gotten from him, you know, they're not by accident because this kid is a pretty smart player.
Great stuff as always, Dave. Enjoy it back in Toronto. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll do it again down the road.
Yep, you got it, guys.
There's Dave Andrychuk. So he's comparing Marner to Gilbert Perreault, Dougie Gilmore.
Who we played with, Gilbert Perreault.
And he played with Perreault. Play with Dougie. I mean, huge praise for Mitch Marner, right? Like Cooper called him.
Deserving.
He's an incredibly talented and smart player. He is one of the smartest current players in the league.
Mm-hmm.
But it was exaggerated to an extent. I mean, I don't know if John Cooper's a hockey historian, but, you know, this is inevitable. People are walking on eggshells here in Toronto because with Marner because there's an uncertainty about his contract.
Right.
And I think collectively, we as a station, I can only speak for us, we've done a pretty good job of putting the Marner contract conversation to bed ever since his agent came out and said, we're not going to negotiate. And once Matthews signed, it was like, all right, let's focus on the games and the real stuff here, and we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But we've been discussing this quote throughout the afternoon. Everybody in the city has. John Cooper pumping the tires of Mitch Marner. Someone sent this text into 105050 saying, Hayes, you can no longer say the media isn't a factor in why this team will never win a Stanley Cup. The coverage of this team has hit a new low this year, and the result is the worst contracts of any contender, making it not a contender. Blue and white disease has never been stronger. The media is a massive factor in that.
I don't understand what he's saying.
He has to flesh that out way more. I need some context.
John Cooper said this, right? Brad Marchand was the one that tweeted that out. It's not, yes, the media, we collectively, I guess I can speak for everyone, do we talk about a lot of things, a lot of multi-layered conversations about the Maple Leafs? Absolutely.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But that's not going to determine what Kyle Dubas is going to do. Yeah. You know, Kyle Dubas isn't sitting there being like, oh, Hayes said he should get 11.6.
Yeah.
Well, then I guess that's what I'm going to table.
Put him down. Yeah,
that's the same way that Mitch Marner's camp is not saying, Johnson said he deserves 13. Yeah. So we're going to ask for 13. That makes a lot of sense.
They're not dragging that sound clip off of TSN.ca and bringing that into negotiations.
And I'll only say this, just as a point of reference, since Tampa's in town. We can talk a lot about the contractual situations and the angst that people are maybe feeling, how everything's going to fit. Like, Braden Point's a $10 million player.
Yeah.
And they got to fit him into Tampa next year.
And guess who's up after next year? Vasilevsky.
Yeah. He's going to be a $9 million goalie.
Yeah, I think he's a $9 or $10 million goaltender as well. Like,
Toronto's not unique in that way.
They're not. And, you know, but Tampa will have to find a way, and they may have to throw somebody overboard to make that happen. That's where, you know, the cap crunch comes in, and you move players out so that you can pay the players that you want in your core to move forward. Like Braden Point, if he gets offer sheet, they'll match it. They'll just have to find a way to
someone
to
take Ryan Callahan off our hands at $6 million bucks, or
package him up.
We'll give you Tyler Johnson and Ryan Callahan.
Exactly.
One you like and one you don't.
And there's some salary. Like, this is why I when it comes to offer sheets and you're not going to be able to make this all fit, you'll be able to make it all fit. You may not love every scenario, but you'll make it fit for the players that you want in your organization.
The best players are going to stick
around.
The best players will stick around.
You're not moving player X just because, oh, you got to move Mitch Marner because you can't fit him in. You'll fit him in. It's just somebody else is going to go.
Well, there's a development down at the pregame skate because Zach Hyman did not take the morning skate, but he's on the ice. He's going to play tonight. But Kasperi Kapanen will not play tonight. I guess he's ill. He's sick.
The flu has been hitting different teams by team.
Yeah, you can
see it. Must be their turn.
I don't care about getting sick. Like, I don't want to go to morning skates. Go in the dressing room because there's 3-4 guys each team around the league that are grappling this flu that's flying around.
What was going on a few years ago? Remember when there was
in Anaheim.
That was the mumps.
It was the mumps.
The mumps.
And
that's
it started in Anaheim. It sounded like every team that went in there got the mumps, but I don't know if this is public knowledge. I know of another team in the Midwest that they believe it started there, that took it in there.
Oh, it wasn't? Oh, I thought Patient Zero was the Ducks.
No. My understanding, Patient Zero was not the Ducks.
Oh, wow.
I just was told by a guy on the team. He's like, dude, it was our team that took it in there.
Dude, I played in Montreal one year where we had something going through the dressing room, and we did not practice for 3 days, and they brought in like the hazmat unit to blow out our dress room and disinfect it to try to get it to stop going around from guy to guy. I missed two games that year because I was sick. My entire life, I've never missed a game because I've been sick.
Here's the one thing.
Yeah, it's
I saw a video.
Not remember, good.
McDavid missed a game. Did he miss one or two with the flu?
He missed the one game, and then he came back and played like 28 minutes.
But the one game that he missed with the flu, they had an autograph session the day before, and they showed him sitting, shaking hands with all these kids. And you know how germy everyone is. And he's having to shake hands and take pictures. And he was, they already showed him, his nose was running, like he was struggling. And he had a petting zoo for like 3 hours. and can you imagine, like, the germs rolling through? Hundreds of fans just having a time with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the one
thing. Purell on standby. Well,
when you have, and I think it was great to meet and greet with people. I'm not a germaphobe, but there are times where you're like, man, we have no idea what you know, you've just... Like, that's why I believe that, what is the bump or the fist bump or whatever?
Yeah, the fist bump is big, but then people fondle money like it's nothing. And it's
exactly.
The same thing.
And
like,
money,
money's moving back and forth. What are you going to do?
Our phone
handrails
cases,
on escalators.
Exactly.
Like, everywhere you go, it's just...
You can't avoid it,
no.
man.
No.
But then at the same time, the people that don't care at all, they never get sick because their immune system... They've just built it up with germs.
Well,
and
we're around kids, and kids are the germiest little creatures on earth.
Right.
And I think it helps you to not become
a
germaphobe because
system.
They're sitting there sneezing in your face as you're trying to help them out or change a diaper or whatever. Like, it's, I think it's helped me. I'm not a germaphobe.
You know what? I don't think it's a terrible idea for Toronto. If it's capping in precautionary reasons, illness. Get him away.
Exactly.
Like, he is isolated.
You're trying to catch Boston here, man. You need everyone going.
But you can't have this linger through your room for the next 3 weeks.
Exactly.
Because that's kind of how long it takes to flush itself
exactly.
out.
Exactly. All of a sudden, Anderson gets it, and Riley gets it, and now all hell's breaking loose. You got to isolate it and move it out.
Well, as a result, a lot of people are going to have their wish granted tonight because Nylander is going back up with Matthews.
There you go.
So capping and getting sick.
I've been angling for this.
Maybe a flu could give you what you want.
Do you think that Kapanen's going to get Wally pipped here by William Nylander? Like, is Nylander going to play like a rock star with Matthews tonight? And then would Babcock have the stones to reunite Kapanen with Matthews on Wednesday night?
Wally pipped the guy who Lou Gehrig replaced at third base before he played
straight
games.
Shout out to Noodles and Wikipedia.
I knew that.
I said
that
to someone. They looked at me like seven heads. I'm like, I don't know.
Do people not know the Wally Pip analogy?
I thought it was like a sports very common analogy.
Yeah.
But as you get older, though, you have we're tendering to a different demographic.
Dude, Wally Pip, he got Wally Pipped in 1917 or something.
We missed that window too. But
right. I agree.
I don't think he does. If Nylander goes in there and plays like a star tonight, they light it up, they score a couple goals. I still believe if Kapanen's healthy for next game, he gets the next looked. It's just an incredibly short leash.
Yes.
And then he gets him back in there. Yeah. They'll make the switch eventually, but I think Babcock has a real respect for kind of the hierarchy and the order of a dressing room, and whether it's Patan scoring, well, Tyler Ennis is going in next game, doesn't matter. He's not. He's loyal to the guys that have been playing well for him, so I think he'd put him back in and then swap him out later for good.
Mm-hmm. Eventually, Nylander's going to get a real shot there. They're not paying him $7 million for him to
play on
the third
line. If they're at their very optimum, Tavares' line being what it is, Nylander, Matthews together, Janssen, and then Marlowe, Kadri,
Kapanen. That's a quality top
Connor
line.
Connor Brown filler.
Exactly. Yeah,
that's what you're looking for.
If they're all playing well together, that would be.
But why wouldn't you be doing that the last month heading into the playoffs?
Well, maybe it starts tonight.
Yeah.
Leafs in action tonight. Raptors in action as well. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by Proline next. TSN 1050 on Instagram, because 1050 and redtag.ca want to send you on a Maple Leaf playoff road trip. To enter, again, you follow us on Instagram at TSN 1050. Look for our playoff road trip post every Monday morning and tag a roadworthy friend. Then make sure you listen to Overdrive on Friday. And if your Instagram handle gets announced, you will have 10 minutes and 50 seconds to call in and claim your trip for two. Get all of the details up on the website, tsn1050.ca. You can find everything podcasted from the show up on tsn1050.ca and subscribe and check out every single hour of every show on iTunes as well. Time now for our best bets brought to you by Proline. I'm on the Raptors, man. I'm laying the 9 points. Sounds like Kawhi's going to play. Kyle Lowry's going to play. I think Marc Gasol is going to start at center tonight. They're coming off a massive win last night. Cleveland is terrible. And no load management for whatever reason. Against Cleveland, you're going to let it go here. But I will lay the points -9, the Raptors in Cleveland tonight. I'm going to take Brooklyn at home against Detroit, and I'm on Boston, who's really starting to come alive here. They're in L.A. against the Clippers tonight. Throw down 20, you can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN1050 Radio and get way into the game with Proline. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Proline, get way into the game. So Kasperi Kapanen will not go tonight, which means William Nylander is playing with Austin Matthews tonight.
Real quick, we talked about off-air that Jake Voracek suspension.
Yeah.
He's appealing it.
I'm not surprised by that.
And he wants an expedited because he wants to play tonight. They're playing Ottawa tonight.
There's no way he's playing tonight.
So he's asking for an expedited hearing. so he could play tonight.
But he got two games. Right? So it's not tonight. It'd be next.
No, he wants it for he wants to play tonight.
Well, yeah, because
the whole point of appealing is so you play the rest of the games until you're out of it.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So we don't see that very often, but we were debating the merits of it. Hayes, you thought it was over the top. I thought it was okay.
Yeah, I didn't, you know, I thought the puck was rimming around. I know he got him, but you see it a lot. You see the stop back.
The reverse hit happens. Forsberg was a master of it, but timing of it is big. And, like, Voracek is, he's a gray area player for me. He's got some bite, which I don't mind, and he's a really good player.
What do you think of
It's more the inconsistency from the league.
It's
not that I like the hit or support the hit. It's that I look at other stuff that happens in the league and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like, explain that to me. And they can't.
I'm more looking at like the likelihood of that appeal working.
It's not going to happen.
It's not good.
It's not going
to
happen.
Not good.
Because I think Bettman is the one that feels the...
I think only if it's more than five games, Bettman has to hear it. So someone else can hear it if it's less.
They've made their decision. Like, the only thing, if you appeal... During the appeal process, if they change the ruling, you can play until the appeal's over. Maybe that's something that they would look at in the future.
We'll see. Raptors-Cavs tonight right here on TSN Radio. Enjoy that. The Leaf game as well. Vladdy Guerrero, we talked about it all afternoon. I'm sure we'll continue tomorrow. We are out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.